Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you're with me on this January 12th day, 2020. Wow, we're already in the new year, and we're going to talk about how do I get to love. Most people think they're already there. It's funny. But anyway, that's the assumption we make because that's the way we are as human beings. And we'll just take a gander at this maybe this morning and see where you are with love. And maybe some of the questions that are being asked here are questions you would ask if you had written me. And I hope you do this year. Take some time. I get lots of emails. I'm very grateful for that. But I'm always interested in those questions that are a little iffy, a little pushy, a little edgy, all those questions. They're good for you to ask, and they're good for me to answer. So always feel free to ask those questions, and I'd love to hear from you. You can do so by writing me at greg@aspire.org. Greg@aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. And I'd love anything you have to offer. Always know that I'm interested in your life and whatever I can do to serve it. And that's what it's all about. So I also want to thank my sponsors once again, new ones, old ones, people who made donations during the new year and Christmas season to help us sustain our radio program. I want to thank you all for being so kind. And yes, we are going to have some more programs, TV programs coming up from the past. The next series that is going to air is called I Gotcha. And it's a series we did way back in the day where I talked about the idea of how the mind grabs you and how to, shall we say, liberate ourselves from our thoughts. And we made fun of me and the whole shebang here. It was really a lot of fun. And I think this is the one also we shot at SeaWorld way back. And they put me in this... Oh, this thing that goes way up in the air, this, I don't know what it is. I have a heights thing, you know, and I'm fine on a ladder, but I'm not so fine I can fly in an airplane, no problemo, but it's something about being exposed to the air and the height, and I think in a past life, I probably leaped to my death or something. So anyway, it's really a fun series. It will probably start in a couple of weeks. And we'll let you know if you're on our mailing list about that. And there's so much to learn from these programs. They're timeless. They're priceless. And I made them for you forever. That's how I did it in my mind. Let's go to the first question from Bruce. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, Greg, I want love and stuff, but can't seem to get there. I don't know what is keeping me from really feeling love. What do you think, generally, Bruce? Well, Bruce, I've never met you. So this is really an assumption. But I'm going to put you in a place where most of us human beings, we reside in that pedestrian mentality of ours. And I'm going to respond to this question from that point of view. And hopefully that will help you. First thing I need to say to you is that love is not an emotion. If you think love has to do with emotion, then you're going to miss everything that is love. I've had a lot of people in my day, and I'm sure you have too, Bruce, tell me they loved me. Oh, just, you know, blah, blah, blah. Women who I was romantically involved with in my youth, friends, colleagues, lovers, whatever. You know, you have a lot of people tell you that they love you. But what does that love mean, and how deep does that love go? If it's emotional love, which 99 9/10 of it is with people, you're not going to find that their love lasts very long. And if you look at the way people love, it is a matter of willpower. They try to believe that love is unconditional. Love is not unconditional. There are conditions to love. In the February discourses and journal and message of the month, I'm going to be offering to you the conditions of love. And if you think for one moment, any of us think for one moment that love is free, that it just, you know, all you got to do is love everybody unconditionally, it can't be done. It isn't done. It's never done. And it's not the way it works. So when you understand that at all, or if you can understand that at all, then you come into the quantum theory of what love really is. It is not something that can be spoken of. It can't be taught. It can't be talked about. It must be caught. You catch love through silence. Silence is the only way authentic love comes into us, or we go to it. Either way. So if you want love and stuff, as you say here, I'm going to say a couple of things to you, and you really want it. You have to want it with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. You have to want it like you've never wanted anything in your life. Now, when I say want, I am not talking about that emotional want that we all get because we're human beings. You know, I want a new car. I want to... you know, a house, I want money. What, it isn't like those things. This is an urgency. That's the only way I can put it, and that may not even be suitable. It's an urgency. You must feel so urgent about the attaining of this love that you would do about anything and everything in your inner powers to bring it about. A lot of people won't do that. They're not willing. Love requires not only a sense of urgency, but the discipline to sacrifice that which is not love. Now that, Bruce, is a big one. How disciplined are you? How much are you willing to acknowledge how far your emotionality has taken you in the course of your lifetime and screwed with your thinking, made you believe that emotions and passions and desire and ambition and pride and jealousy and vanity were all okay and even a part of love? I've heard people say that to me. So when you go and you look at it from that point of view, you have to wonder about the sincerity and the quality of love that you might be seeking. You say you want love and stuff, but can't seem to get there. Well, the reason is you have to be totally willing to surrender whatever you want, whatever you think, whatever you desire. You have to be willing to surrender it. To let it go. You have to be willing to be absolutely silent and empty and let love fill you. This is a very difficult thing for most people to do. In fact, 98%, I would say, of people that I have known in my life can't and won't do it. They just won't. They'll be happy with the pedestrian mentality of love, you know, that emotional stuff where you're constantly being fed whatever it is that is comfortable for you, whatever it is that people want, you want, thinking, oh, I got what I want, I got what I want, I got what I want, thinking that getting what we want is what it's all about. And it's not. Love is often something that is so difficult for us to conceive of. We can't conceive of it because we don't have the silence within us. We don't have that emptiness in us to to be able to bring us to the meaning of what it is to have beautiful love, real, authentic love. It's just very hard for people. So with that being said, that's the difficulty of it all. And most people want the love they can think, the love that they can imagine, the love that they desire, that they think will make them happy and be fun and all that other stuff, so they won't be alone. So they're always looking for love with skin on. And when I'm looking for love with skin on, and that's the only thing that I care about, I miss whatever it is that is authentic and real. And what can I say to you about that? The practice, the authentic practice, if you were to ask me, which you didn't, but forgive me, I'm going to answer it anyway, is not about attaining to enlightenment at all. The practice is about welcoming love, which is enlightenment. But nonetheless, enlightenment is the ability to allow love to have its way, to let love live me. That's what it's all about, to let love live me. Bruce, you're probably spinning right now thinking, he didn't answer my question, but I did. And I answered it in the best way, most authentic way possible. I hope that in some way this helped you. And if you need more, give me a call. You know where I am, I guess. You can get my phone number off the website, and I'd love to hear from you. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's very difficult for people to really understand the nature of love. It is. It's not even a natural thing in the human body. So when you're thinking in terms of love and gaining love or having love, it's not something that is natural to the human body. Okay, the next one is from Trib. He does not tell me where he lives. My personal fears are about myself meeting you one day. I am afraid to meet you. Why, Trib? I don't know, Trib. I don't know. Maybe it's because, and I'm throwing this out, if you meet me, it means that all of your fantasies and your ideas and your ideals and your beliefs and your theories will end. Maybe it's about coming to that place inside you where you might meet your maker inside you by meeting me. I'm kind of the end of the road for a lot of people. People who realize, if I go the way I'm going, if I keep doing the way I'm doing, nothing will ever change. And this whole thing is going to turn into just one routine after another routine after another routine after another. It's just going to keep going and going and going and going. So when you look at yourself and you think in terms of meeting someone who's on a path that is a little different than your own, a lot different, it threatens the ego. And the ego gets deeply, deeply threatened. I have had many a person come in the course of my career to meet me and found that it was very, very difficult for them to sustain anything within themselves. When you meet somebody or you get to know them, you find out what qualities in you sustain the relationship you have with another person. You have what people call a mutuality. With me, that would be very difficult to do because there is no mutuality in you that would be with me. You would be looking for, oh, we could talk about cars and football and things like that. And I love doing that. That's perfectly fine. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, what is it that makes for intimacy between two people? What exactly is it? What are we looking at here? We're looking at the things that make us tick, the things that make us authentic with ourselves. And we're looking for that in another person that we might be able to share that and talk about it and refine it. Well, most people aren't doing that. So you meet me, or your fear of meeting me, and your craziness will stop, especially if you meet me in the venue of teaching. I don't teach that. I don't teach you're okay, I'm okay. You're not okay. Okay? You get it? And I'm not trying to be okay for you. We're on a journey, and this human experience is a soldrin. And once you understand that, then the things that you think, say, and do become significant. They're no longer passé. They're no longer things that you ignore. You get to getting. You start to realize everything you do matters. Everything you contemplate matters. Everything that forces you to act and react matters. So, Trib, I suggest you read the book Behave by Robert Sapolsky. And if you can do that, if you can read that book, and it's a dilly whopper, it truly is a dilly whopper. If you can do that, then you have something you and I could talk about in an intellectual way. But the spiritual, going deeper and deeper inside of ourselves, that's something that is unspoken. So there has to be a communion between the two of us, where you are living in the kindness of your heart, the sweetness of your being, and that you commune with me in that. We used to have times in India where we would just sit with our master in meditation, just sitting there in the garden, meditating, communing, imbibing. You imbibe with someone like me. You don't talk with me per se. Talking is useless. It's just useless communication. It's the ego's lips talking to the ego's ears and back and forth. And it doesn't really amount to anything that is substantial. But when you sit in silence with someone, just those pauses, those gaps, those spaces between words, where you are just sitting and listening, wanting nothing with all of your heart, that is when something of the other shore begins to arrive in you. You start to see things from the point of view of another place that lives in every human being, at all times, everywhere, at once. This communion, this beauty, this communion is beyond words. So maybe you're afraid that if you come and meet me, you won't be able to do all this. Or if you do all of this, that your life as you know it will stop. And people will look at you and think you've gone crazy because you're quieter. But that's just the way it is. You can't worry about what other people think of you. You just have to be true to your heart, your authentic heart, and the silence that lives within your heart. And should you be that quiet, that beautiful, that kind, the presumptions of your mind, your emotions, your body, your intellect will all fall away. And suddenly, a connection will happen, and you will feel it deep within you. You will feel the virtue of goodness in you. And being around me is a lot like that. There's a certain virtue to it. But you have to be of that ilk. You have to be wanting to be in that kind of virtue. And if you don't see it as important or beautiful, you won't get it. You won't feel it. Many people, many, many people passed up the Buddha in his day when he was living in his body. The same thing with Jesus. Imagine the people that killed him, that judged him. They didn't feel anything from him at all. He wasn't otherworldly to them. He just seemed like one more guy, you know? And if you want to live in that, if you have to live in that, if that is what it's all about for you, that's what it's all about for you. So come and meet me. Come to a workshop. I don't know where you live. Come to a retreat, I don't know where you live if you can do that, but you're never going to know until you arrive. And I would be honored and thrilled to have you at a workshop or at a retreat. It would be marvelous. Thank you, Trib, for your beautiful question. How brave of you. How utterly brave. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Bob. He does not tell me where he lives either. I have this syndrome, and I'm sure you understand. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. What do I do with the flesh that is weak? Bob. Bob, you have to turn away from it. Don't cave into it all the time. Don't give it everything it wants. Don't give it that cookie it wants, whatever that cookie is. Maybe it's a snide comment, or maybe it's a judgment on ourselves, or a judgment on another person, or maybe it's some obsession with food or alcohol or marijuana or whatever it is that you need to get away from yourself, as it were, to alter yourself. Just don't do that. Don't do the things that you consider absolutely necessary in order to be comfortable or happy or whatever. Just don't do it. And if you do it, then forgive yourself, because, you know, that's the flesh never forgives the flesh. You have to be born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, not of the flesh, but of the spirit. That's the only way this inner work starts to grow and thrive. You have to see it again. It is an amazing phenomenon when a human being realizes that it can no longer be a human being. When something within you says, I can't do this human trip anymore. I just can't do it anymore. This is an amazing thing. We get sick of our own sickness, as Lhotse said. So we hear this inside of us, I can't do this anymore. And then if we're diligent, you start to walk away from those fleshly things. You no longer indulge when the body says I'm hungry, when it's really bored. You don't feed it. When there is a chance for you to be sniding, you don't do it. When there's a chance for you to be generous and forgiving and kind, you do it. These are the ways in which you overcome the flesh. But if you're depending on the flesh to change, which my students all do, and no matter what I say to them, don't do that, don't do that, don't, they do it anyway. They just do it anyway. If you do that, and you just go on with the body the way it is, you're going to miss everything that is deeply significant about your life. And I can't make you change that. I watch students try to change. They can't, they don't, and they won't. They think changing is adopting a philosophy that fits their lifestyle better. That's about as far as they go. And they're always looking for some lifestyle and philosophy that match, that are comfortable for their flesh. And the more they do that, of course, the less the spirit opens up inside them. Our spiritual side is always willing. It is how we undermine that side with our fleshly desires and pride and ambition and all of that, that makes it so deeply, deeply difficult for us to live in a constant, the constant of a love that is greater than the human emotions could ever generate. So that's how you do it. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love and what you think you want as love. And if you do that, things change. Bob, great question. Thank you. Happy New Year to you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. We've got another program for you here. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it helped you. I'll be back on the air next weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.